We have Chancellor Jean-Pierre here. And before we went to break, you talked about community. And I'm big on community because I often get on here and I gripe a lot about the area around Southern University and the pride that it takes to build a community that I've read books about, I've heard stories about, and sat down with people who told me what this community was meant for African-American people, the successful businesses, what it meant. And now when I look at it, it's filled with blight. And then you have the conversations talking about what can we do for North Baton Rouge. Southern University sits right there in the heart of it to help create the change. And I often talk about state and local leaders as well as what they could do to help the change, because I gripe about Scenic Highway all the time, the flooding, the sidewalks, the median, the lights, just the road needs to be repaired. And everybody is always pointing the blame at somebody else. But you got to have a love in order to give back, to make it look good around the university for people to then want to come back and invest around the university. What is Southern doing in terms of the community and reaching out to those stakeholders and state and local leaders to say, hey, we need you to help us get better as we try to build up around us?
Well, one of the things that we're really focusing on is what I call our responsibility to be drivers of economic development. So we have a number of different plans right now that really are going to remake Southern University, but really are going to help remake the community around Southern University and drive what I call the kinds of things that people couldn't imagine. So, for example, we have a project right now called Connected Minority Communities, where we're improving the digital footprint of schools, library, churches right around Southern University within a 15-mile radius of Southern University. We're also going to launch an opportunity to do some advanced manufacturing near Southern University, which people are going to really be able to see how important this stuff is. What we have to do is we have to imagine ourselves as being the driver of so many important things. We're doing some great things with the College of Ag. We're doing great things with respect to our EDA and the College of Business. We're trying to develop entrepreneurs in the local area. And we just have to stay focused on that process, because what we are really is we're a community university. We can't ever forget that we're a community university. And, for example, the first important subdivision in Baton Rouge was created right near Southern University, Southern Heights. And that's because the president at the time, Felton G. Clark, and those leaders created a financial institution, okay? Most people don't realize that that bank, which is now Liberty Bank, has been there for years under other names because it was first started by leaders of Southern University, and even the Southern University Teachers and Parents Federal Credit Union. We have to recognize that we have to be self-sustaining ourselves. When we look at the potential cuts that are going to hit our education, we have to create diverse revenue streams so that we can be sustainable and be resilient.
What do those potential cuts look like currently?
Well, right now it's about $250 million for higher education. Southern's portions could be anywhere from $11 to $13 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get prepared. We got to fight to hopefully prevent those cuts from happening. But if they come, we've got to be prepared with alternative plans to say, what are we going to do under that particular circumstance?
Do you think for so long we have always, and we all understand HBCUs across the nation have been underfunded tremendously, and we're talking about for some up to the billions, right? Do you think we often sit back, and this is an honest question, that we sit back with the handout waiting for many instead of saying, what can we do and just move forward?
Well, I think part of the problem is this. We expect government to put in investments in the public. But there has been a mindset of disinvestment, of changing priorities. So we have to focus the people that deal with public policy to say, no, you have an important role to make sure that there's public investment in things that are a public good. Higher education is a public good. When we misapply that concept, we don't understand that it's a public good, then we're in a world of trouble. So the first thing we got to say, what is a public good? Why is this important for us to invest in it? The other piece is this. We have to, as a higher education institution, recognize that we've got to create more self-generated funds from a lot of different areas.
And you have to be creative in those.
It has to be creative. Yeah. We have to engage in public-private partnerships. We have to engage corporations. We have to engage people. And we have to engage in the human resource capacity of the folks that work at Southern University and the students we educate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real key.
And I like what you're saying, because I think with that, the creativity of, because oftentimes what I, and this, the conversation that we have is, I'm the common man amongst the common people. And they always say, seem like we go to the same well and we run that well dry. And it does not ever seem to be that creativity of what can we do next that we have not already been doing for the past 20, 30 years. You know, what's the next? What does the future look like? Because it seems Southern had this, and it still has this pride about itself, right? No doubt about it. But it seems it has shifted, because there's a difference between the pride that I get from the people of yesteryears. And I would say from what I've seen, the 70s, the 80s, and coming in the 90s. And then it seemed like it shifted. It wasn't quite the same, and it seemed like people started to lose interest. There was a, something shifted, something happened where it wasn't necessarily the same hit that it was before. Mike, how long we have before we go to a break? About 2 minutes. But something happened and shifted, and now it seems like we're having to come back around to try to regain that full, as I can say, participation that we used to have.
Well, one of the things is that we can't outsource our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility as Chancellor of Southern University and A&M College is to talk to people in the community, to engage with people in the community, wherever I go about Southern University. That's something you can't outsource. It's not something that you can put on a sort of a digital analytical box,
yeah,
and say, hey, the analytics say we ought to do this, that, and the other. There's that human element. When you include that human element, you inspire people,
yeah,
to do things, all right? You inspire people to do things that they would not ordinarily do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're inspired, they are willing to do the things which I call extraordinary, okay? They don't have to be a named leader. They just have to be involved and be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of things. I've been pinged the last 3 days by a lady who's advocating for a student who comes from a family that has 9 children who live in a 2-bedroom house. And she needs help, and she's been working with her every day. Those kind of ordinary people doing those things,
mm-hmm,
create extraordinary results.
I like that. Let's get ready to take a break. You going to stick around with me a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
All right. I like where we're going with this. It's Chancellor John Pierre here hanging out with me this morning. And you guys wake up, get your coffee as we're getting it going. We're going to get ready to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. It's the Jaguar Journal. We'll be right back.
Southern was a little late to the game of football. They had started earlier in the CIAA up at Hampton and those schools up there. And when J.S. Clark became president of Southern University in 1914, he had already visited the Tuskegee and these Howard and the other schools, and they had a football program. And he wanted to compete with them, not just in the classroom, but also on the football field. So it started as an intramural. We had intramurals when we first came in 1914 through 1916-17. And then the intramural program evolved into the varsity, into the football program we know in 1918. Coach Big Charlie Holmes from Colorado State, he came here as an assistant coach, but he took over around 1922, 1923, and he did very well through the early 20s. But he came up to 26, he broke even, he was expected to do well, and 27, I don't find any records where he won any games there, and he was replaced. But the person he was replaced by was a legendary, name is Bryce Union Taylor from University of Southern California. Out there, he had been an All-American, he was the guy that stopped the 4 horsemen of Notre Dame. And then he went to Chaplin University in South Carolina in 27. In 1928, he became the head football coach at Southern University and athletic director, and he really put Southern on the map. He had a lot of firsts. First of all, he had the first All-Americans we had came under him. That therefore, he had the greatest winning percentage in Southern University. He won 85% of his game here, and he had our first undefeated season in 1931 when he was 7-0. But he was not declared national champ, but he was considered for that. But he was our first great coach during that early period, Bryce Union Taylor. We don't want to forget him. Arnett W. Mumford, he's a national icon in coaching. He had coached 10 years in Texas, Jarvis Christians, Bishop, and Texas College. But the last 5 or 6 years at Texas College, he was very, very outstanding. He won 2 SWAC titles, and he won a national black championship at Texas College and 35. So therefore, Southern was interested in getting him here, and Dr. Felton Clark was very instrumental in the person to get him here. But his impact it goes much further than Southern University and State of Louisiana. He won 12 SWAC titles, 10 of them at Southern and 2 at Texas College. And he won 5 or 6 national black championships. And also, he was very successful in the first interracial bowl game, the Fruit Bowl in San Francisco in 1948 when he played San Francisco State. And he won that game decisively. But his influence extended much further than the boundaries of Southern University. He was recognized nationally as a great coach. His winning record, he didn't coach over a period of 35 years, but and a couple of those years they didn't have teams because of the war. But he won 246 games, second only to Eddie Robinson with his 402 game over 55 years, I should add. And so they always had large supporters, and they would follow the team everywhere they would go in large numbers. So Southern became the team that everyone loves to beat, loves every Saturday. It's the toughest game we have every Saturday. So if they don't win another game, they figure if they win the Southern game, they had a good season. And because we carry a large crowd with us everywhere we go too, so a lot of people like that. And we like to brag about how good we are. And of course, that hips up. But it is a vista to the university, using the football athletics period to use that way to introduce the university to people who may not have known the university. Went through a period of 30 years, I believe it was, after Mom until we got Coach Peach Richardson in 1982-83.
All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys are enjoying your morning, getting it started, get your coffee. You'll need your newspaper right now. Get that in about an hour when we're done. But right now, it is the Jaguar Journal. Turn your radio up, your iPad, your phone, laptop, whatever you're listening to it, listen to us on, because we have our listeners right there on 107.3 here in the Baton Rouge area on Talk 107.3. We got our listeners all across the state down in New Orleans as well as Alexandria and as well as everybody, Chancellor Pierre, watching us on our YouTube and Facebook Live. And good to have you guys with us. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. I can never tell you enough. It is free. I don't need your Social Security card. I'm not those predatory credit card companies. I don't need your Social Security. I don't need none of that. I just need your love and the support. Because guess what? It is easy. Just hit that subscribe button. Hit that follow button. Both the Jaguar Journal on Facebook and YouTube. We would love to have you with us. Because if you didn't know about us, now you do. And you can keep up and continue to listen to me right here on the show. And this morning, very special guest. Glad to have you. Chancellor John Pierre, Southern University, Baton Rouge. Good to have you with me this morning.
Always great to be with you.
Man, listen, as we were talking off air and we were having conversations, but something, history. All right. We look at an institution like Southern University, right, 1880. A lot of history. Originally founded in New Orleans, moved to the Baton Rouge campus, and so many people have come and gone being a part of this institution, whether they're just alums, administrators, just the imprint of so many different walks of life from around the world. When you look at our history at Southern University, how important is it to capture and to continue to talk about our legacy? And I always use this because, once again, I gripe a lot on here, but I gripe to bring attention, not just to be some disgruntled person. But I've always been big about capturing our history, which is why as a student, I created On the Yard.